Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
What could Bitcoin's future be on the global economy? We find out with Christopher Long, founder of Crypto Trader SG, back in the studio to talk about Bitcoin and its possible impact on our futures. Chris, how are you?
Hi, I'm very good. Thank you.
Looking forward to the weekend?
It's okay.
Okay, it sounds like you're going to be working this weekend.
Yeah.
So some trepidation.
Usually, I work more on weekends and in the evenings. For me, it's the reverse. I look forward to Sunday nights.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, we're very grateful that you've joined us then.
Thank you for having me.
This Friday morning. And we are talking about Bitcoin. Just before we started the show, we mentioned that Bitcoin trading at about one Bitcoin is about 11,000 Singapore dollars. 11,075.07 Singapore dollars.
Yeah.
We did see a little bit of a dip on Thursday to about 8,000.
To 8,000 US dollars.
8,000 US dollars, excuse me. And that was a brief slip. This was the first time in 3 months, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, some people say this shows that, you know, there's still bold, volatile moves.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting you said that it's a brief slip or a gentle slide, because it actually fell by almost 20%. And if a stock, or if, you know, let's see, Singtel drops by 20%, people will be going crazy.
Okay.
But in cryptocurrency, it's almost like, oh, okay, that
it's a
is
brief.
Again. Yeah.
Okay, today we are talking a little bit about Bitcoin and what its possible impact could be on the future. Because very often when people talk about cryptocurrency, they do it with some sort of fervor, like it's going to change the world. And I wanted to unpack that a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that the public's perception of Bitcoin has changed since it came our way in 2008?
Well, if you're talking about since 2008, then definitely. In 2008, I would say people don't know what it is. They don't know if it's going to take off. People think it's a scam. Even myself, I thought it was just some internet scam. I mean, people still think about it now, but there's a growing number of advocates, a growing number of people who actually, well, they are on the side defending Bitcoin. And they are the guys that say, look, this is something that's going to take off in the future. And this movement or this belief has been growing over the past 10 years.
So this sort of crypto apologists have been increasing over the last 10 years.
Yes.
Do you think there's a greater degree of confidence in what it is, a greater understanding in what it is as a whole?
Definitely, there's a better understanding of what it is. In fact, there are more people on the mainstream media talking about it. A lot of students who study computer science, the younger generation, they actually know a lot about Bitcoin and how blockchain technology works compared to 2008, compared to even 5 years ago. But at this point of time, I think people are trying to unpack it to see whether there is really a future for it, because it could be a pretty cool technology, but is there a place for it in society?
Mm.
Is it going to be something that is useful for mankind in general? And I think right now we are at this place. Right, where people are trying to
figure it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're still figuring it out. And it's about the utility case, right?
Yes.
So let's start by asking, what is the reality now in terms of what Bitcoin is doing for people in terms of payments? How useful is it in terms of being part of that payment exchange for goods and services?
Right. I would say right now Bitcoin is 80 to 90% speculative trading and store of value. It's probably 5 to 10% where people collect payments in exchange for goods and services for it. Well, I personally have received payments in Bitcoin before. I've paid for articles and for products in Bitcoin and Ethereum before.
You have?
I have.
You paid for it?
So I needed an article written, and usually we go to freelance writers. One of the best countries to get freelance writers is actually from Philippines. And I got one written for, I think, $60. So you can either send it over by PayPal or you can do a remittance, which takes really long. And the guy that wrote it was like, why don't you just send me cryptocurrency? Because PayPal deducts like 3%. And we just sent Ethereum over. He sent the article over. It was done in 3 minutes.
Okay, so how do you send Ethereum over? mean, so, do you just like send it in an email?
Yeah, so it's exactly like Bitcoin, where you have a digital wallet. You know, for simplistic, you can think of it like an app. And in it, you have Ethereum. Think of it like your Sing dollar.
So you both have to have this wallet, right?
We both have to have this wallet, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really easy. Anybody can create it in like a minute online. So I just send it over to him. And once he receives it, you get acknowledgement.
So these wallets are like little remittance services. They charge their own fees, right?
No. So these wallets are like programs. They are like software. They don't charge you remittance fee because you're essentially just transferring a digital money from one wallet to the other.
So, I mean, if these wallets disappear, does your currency disappear as well?
That's a great question. What happens is that these wallets allow you to interface with the Ethereum blockchain. So think of it, think of the Ethereum blockchain like the servers. Think of these wallets like what you use to talk to the servers. So even if this wallet crashes, you can actually have many different wallets from different people who created them and use those wallets to access the blockchain. And that is where the records of your Ethereum or cryptocurrency is held.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So your freelancer accepted Bitcoin as payment?
Ethereum, but Ethereum as
payment. And you have used Bitcoin for payment?
Yes, correct.
Increasingly?
As long as they accept it, I do it for the ease of transfer, especially if it's overseas, and to reduce remittance costs for the person who receives it. I do not use it on a day-to-day basis, and I probably wouldn't because it's volatile, right? So Bitcoin just crashed 20% in a week. So typically how merchants or even how I do it myself is that once I receive it, I immediately convert it back to Sing dollar. Or if I send it to the other person, I presume that that person converts it straight to Filipino peso or whatever currency it's in to maintain the value.
Yeah. So the utility case still depends on it being linked to fiat to some extent.
Yes.
Right?
And how stable the value of Bitcoin is.
His name is Christopher Long. He is founder of Crypto Trader SG. I heard someone say that people are accepting Bitcoin in taxi services. Yeah. Have you come across that?
No, actually.
Yeah, neither have I.
Might have missed it out.
Yeah.
I know that in Philippines, they're accepting it at 7-Eleven.
I know there's some cryptocurrencies, tokens that are accepted in sort of closed ecosystem.
Yes, yes.
For private hire cars. But I've never heard of Bitcoin being accepted. So I thought I'd check in with you.
Well, it might be in some countries, but for now, I've not heard about it.
Okay. What are some of the most common concerns that you have heard from investors about Bitcoin?
Investors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for investors, they are only really concerned whether the price will go up or down. Some of the common concerns they have is that will the blockchain be centralized, because blockchain is being maintained by these programs called miners, and certain companies or certain people, they own a lot of miners, and essentially that is a risk. So if these guys decide to leave the ecosystem or they decide to be malicious, that is an area of concern. The other one is of course government regulation, because right now, as we talked about it earlier, you can't buy and sell stuff that easily with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. You still need to convert it to Sing dollars, right? So then you have these choke points. You go to an exchange and you convert it to Sing dollar. Now, if the government clamps down and goes to the exchanges and says, stop, I'm locking you guys down, what are you going to do? So the only way you can then do it is to meet someone on the street and give cash to get Bitcoin. Then everything becomes primitive, which is ironic because Bitcoin is supposed to be cutting edge, but yet you're going backwards.
Meeting on a street corner somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so funny. Okay, so it depends on these exchanges, these conversion exchanges. And are these regulated, these exchanges? I mean, what are the options?
So in some countries like Malaysia, you do need to have a license. I think they gave out 3 this year.
Yeah.
In Singapore, I believe that MAS is aware and looking into it. I do not think that there are any formal regulations or formal permits or licenses that have been issued or need to be issued yet. But I am aware of some of the exchanges being in very constant communication with MAS. So they are aware and they are communicating.
As an investor, I mean, can you choose to use an online exchange?
Yes.
To convert your currency into any other foreign currency or any other kind of Litecoin?
Okay, yeah, good question. So you can. In the US, one of the exchanges I use is, for example, Gemini. I open an account, I transfer Bitcoin in, I can sell it into US dollars.
Okay.
So I can cash out.
Okay, and the US dollar is the only currency that you can cash out in?
For that exchange. Gemini. Okay. If you want to go China, you need to use a China exchange.
Interesting. So do you think that investors' concerns, broadly speaking, do you think Bitcoin could become the world's main form of currency?
Wow.
Big question.
That's a tough one. In simple terms, I do not know. Right. No one can accurately predict the future. My personal view, though, is that it can't. It can't become the main source of currency in the world because the governments would intervene. At the same time, at where it stands, Bitcoin is a little bit slow. Unless the developers come in, they create some kind of second layer solution, some kind of payment channel that allow the transactions to be fast, it's probably not going to serve well as a form of currency. What I do see, though, is that essentially it could become a digital form of gold. So right now, gold fluctuates as well in terms of US dollar, Sing dollar, various different currency. But everyone goes back to gold as a store of value, as a safe haven asset. Potentially, Bitcoin can be that store of value in the digital age because it's much easier to transfer ownership of Bitcoin than to transfer ownership of gold, especially when you're talking about over a long distance.
Okay. But Facebook, when, you know, talking about Libra, said that was the goal, right? But so, whether or not Libra, we ever see Libra, whether it sees light of day is something else.
Yes, that's right. So for Libra, right, they are trying to create kind of a form of cryptocurrency that is akin to a stable coin where they take various different currencies and form a basket and give value to Libra. It's kind of similar to Sing Dollar as well, right? Sing Dollar, we have a basket of reference from different foreign currencies. So they want to take that concept and put it onto a digital token, which is known as Libra. Slightly different from Bitcoin, slightly different.
And in terms of a use case, it already has a ready ecosystem of users as well.
Yeah. So for Libra, it's much more likely that it can become a currency, a digital currency, where it's very easy to exchange goods and services and exchange value in terms of that. I believe that it won't fluctuate that much as compared to Bitcoin. And having, you know, Facebook have a marketplace, an auction, you can actually transact in Facebook dollars.
Mm.
Yeah, which makes it easier.
Mm. What are some obstacles you see Bitcoin absolutely has to overcome if it does aim to transform the economy?
Well, I think one of the main things you have to overcome is the fact that it's not fast enough. Like, you can't do enough transactions. Secondly, it needs to have a bigger adoption rate, if I may put it that way. Because right now, there's just a small number of people even buying or holding or trading Bitcoin. But when the number increases, and I believe along with that, when the price reaches a certain level, it becomes more stable. So for example, right now, if it drops by $2,000, you know, it's a 20% drop. But if it's 100,000, right, the market cap of Bitcoin is way bigger.
Yep.
And you having to affect such a big market cap product or asset, you actually need to pump in more money, or you need to reduce or exit with more amounts of money. So if Bitcoin is a $10 asset class, you taking $2 out removes 20%. But if it's a $1 trillion asset class, you need to take $200 billion of value out. So until it reaches that size, there will not be stability in terms of its price.
Interesting reading. In your opinion, I mean, we just saw Bitcoin crash by 20% this Thursday. Could it see a surge in value again? And what would power that potential hypothetical upside?
Right. So I would say right now, market sentiments is quite weak. People are feeling a little bit afraid. It seems as though there might potentially be more downside before we see the price recover. One of the catalysts that we believe is due to the launch of this platform called BAKT, B-A-K-K-T, which is a futures exchange managed by the Intercontinental Exchange, which also does the New York Stock Exchange. So it's like a big company, and it was a big news that came out, and everyone was really excited by it. But when it launched, there was only less than 100 Bitcoin that was traded on it. So it was kind of a letdown. And I think from there, people just thought, oops, the hype's over. And a lot of people started selling.
Right. So still uncertain times ahead.
Very uncertain, yeah.
Do you see Bitcoin being able to reduce reliance on fiat?
When you say reliance, do you mean in terms of exchange of goods and services?
Yes. Yeah.
Right now, no. I think it would take maybe another 3 years to five at least. Right now, though, a lot of websites online, they are using payment systems like BitGo and BitPay to accept payments. It's easier to get payments internationally that way. But on a local level, if you go to the shops in Singapore, we are still far from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it different? I mean, have you traveled to Japan? Is it significantly different?
No, I haven't been to Japan.
I just watched a little documentary about, you know, how people can walk into bars and pay for their beer with Bitcoin.
Oh, is it? In Japan?
Yes, yes.
Very nice.
Parts of it, yeah. Well, not all cryptocurrency, just certain ones. So you talked earlier about transferring Bitcoin to your freelancer using wallets, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think people need to understand about crypto debit cards? We're seeing all sorts of things grow out of this phenomenon.
Right. So one of the very popular ways to buy stuff using Bitcoin right now is using those debit cards. You go to an app, you sell your Bitcoin, and this card automatically contains the amount that you have sold, let's say $500. You can then go to McDonald's, you can go to NTUC and use your debit card as how you would use a normal credit card. I think it's a good step forward for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. My gut feeling, though, is that most people do not use the card. They may have it. As a cryptocurrency investor, you may have one that allows you to use it. But the truth is, people don't use it yet. Because if I use it right now, who knows? You know, next week, my crypto might have gone up 20%. So people tend to not want to use cryptocurrency in terms of payments right now.
Yeah, that's the problem, and that's holding it back, right? Because until you have mainstream adoption, right, it's a sort of a chicken and egg thing. So how else can you power your crypto debit card? Not with cash, right?
Only crypto. Yeah.
What opportunities do you see Bitcoin presenting for global investors?
Ah, that's a good one. I think one of the bull cases for Bitcoin is that right now, as an investor, if you want to invest in certain companies or certain projects, we still need to go through the banks. We still need to remit our money over. And it's a long process. And I know that the ICO craze is over. I know that it has been abused. But when I stop and think about it, I think the concept's good, that if you have a great business idea or you need funding, you are able to receive funding from retail investors in small amounts from all over the world. That really lubricates the flow of money. And, you know, for an economy or for an industry to thrive, there has to be this ease of monetary flow. That's why Singapore banks, what the country does is it wants to make borrowing and lending very easy so that businesses can be funded at a cheaper rate. And people who have money, they are able to earn interest and earn returns in an easier manner. So right now, though, it's contained in Singapore, but crypto might allow it to be global.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you see more upside for Bitcoin this year?
This year? I think yes, for me at least personally. I think we should see some recovery towards the end of the year. So 2 months to go.
Recovery is in from the 20% drop that we saw this week?
Yeah.
Okay, so being conservative there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you want me to give a number, my gut feeling, there's no reason behind it, but my gut feeling tells me it'll go back above 10. Maybe you're looking at 11 to 12,000.
You're talking about US dollars?
Yeah, US dollars.
Okay, great. Well, thank you as always for coming by and sharing your thoughts. Christopher Long is founder of Crypto Trader. We've been talking about how Bitcoin could someday change the face of the global economy.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.